It rubs the lotion
pan
on its skin, or else it gets the hose again. It rubs the lotion
pan
on its skin. It does this whenever it's told.
I do wish we could chat longer, but I'm having
Jack Mangan
for dinner.
Hey, Deadpan, welcome to episode number 261. I'm your host, Jack Mangan, and I often encounter songs on classic rock radio stations that I cannot identify as either Night Ranger, Styx, Foreigner, or Bad Company. And there's not a whole lot in this episode except for me rambling. There's some other stuff. Just a Joe has a pretty funny bit based on something in a recent Deadpan full-length episode, and I got a pretty good voicemail from our own SB. But I'd love some more voicemails from y'all, or some recordings from y'all. You can email your recording to me at sphericaljackm@gmail.com, or call the voicemail, which is 480-788-JMDP. And you know what? We started up our Deadpan Secret Santa. Thank you, as always, every year, Amy Bowen, our Deadpan ambassador, for running it. And we are in the thick of it, so I would really love to hear a recording of your gift. When you get your gift, I'd love to hear a recording saying, hey, this is what I got from so-and-so, and I hate it, and fuck you forever. Or, you know, this is cute, thank you so much, or whatever. Intro babble out.
Hello, this is Steve.
This is Dave.
And this is Jim. Join the Waves of Tech crew as we explore technology in today's society.
We have information and discussions on blogging, computer tips, social media, entertainment, product reviews, education, and technology news.
Join us. It's all there at netcaststudio.com.
This is Dr. Zoidberg. You're listening to Jack Mangan's Deadpan Podcast.
Hey!
So the feature film of your life is basically your late teen years to your mid to late 30s, maybe even into your 40s. Yes, your childhood happened, but that's kind of the opening credits. You still don't really know what's going on. You're just getting an idea of the tone and the rules and the way things work. You're figuring out who the cast is in your movie and who directed it. Like, if it's Tarantino, you're going to have lots of interesting conversations and fucked up situations. Or if it's Francis Ford Coppola, then it'll be brilliant and complex. If it's young George Lucas, then it'll be exciting and innovative. Of course, if it's old George Lucas, then I'm sorry. If it's Uwe Boll, then I'm sorry. And of course, if it's David Fincher, then I'll probably enjoy watching it, but again, I'm sorry. Anyway, yeah, I guess we've already stated the point of this. The feature film is from the dawning of your self-awareness as a late teenager. You know, your awareness of your place in the universe, that is kind of late teenage to early 40s until the next phase. So if you're young enough to heed this and make the first film great, or if, you know, if you're old enough to look back and say, yeah, that first film was great, then good for you. Of course, if you're around the crux of that, or if you're into your second film already in the series, you know, the later stages of life, then don't despair. You know, that the sequel rule need not apply. Sometimes they are better. I don't want to say Empire Strikes Back, because that went a whole lot darker than Star Wars. It was better, but open-ended and dark. Let's go with Toy Story 2. For those of us in our mid-30s, late 30s, early 40s, who are at least aware that the sequel is coming, you know, then may the sequel in your life be Toy Story 2, to infinity and beyond. And of course, may your series run forever. May you have as many films as the Bond movies. Doesn't necessarily need to be just two or a trilogy or even four. I would say I hope you have as many as the Friday the 13th movies had, but, you know, that sounds like a crappy life. So we'll go with Bond. Skyfall is current as of this recording release anyway. We'll go with Bond. Lots of ups, lots of downs, but lots of great adventures, lots of apparently great sex, great fun. The stakes are always high, and the world was always great. There you go. Can you tell that was off the top of my head and not scripted? Thought so. You'll notice when I was talking about directors, I didn't mention Tim Burton. At one time, the comedy of suggesting that Tim Burton might have directed your life would be hilarious. But you know, at this point in 2012, Tim Burton and I, we've broken up. I don't see him anymore. Things were great, great in the beginning. You know, he showed me a lot of respect and treated me great. But you know, over time, he just started to kind of get turned inward. He got really kind of self-involved and cocky, and he just didn't care about me anymore. It was obvious. And, you know, a couple of times I was foolish, and he made these gestures, and I believed the hype, and I took him back. But, you know, I got burned every time. I'm afraid he's just not what he used to be. Or, he was great in the beginning. He really was. But he's kind of let that go. So he and I would say we're still on friendly terms, but he's going to have to work hard to earn me back.
Pan. Up in here, y'all gonna make me grease my spoon. Up in here, y'all gonna make me do haiku. Up in here, y'all gonna make me download every episode of Spherical Tomy. Up in
here,
hey.
Hey, Deadpan, it's Effie. I'm calling to see if I can get a little help spelling a word, because I just had a little embarrassing moment as I was, well, first let me tell you that as some of you know, Slippy and I have two cats, and our younger cat, her name is Serafina Pecola, was attacked around Thanksgiving and had to have pretty serious veterinary intervention to, keep her around, and lots of stitches and a big cone on her head and just terrible stuff. So I was caring for the kitty just right after her medical treatment, and I noticed that I just didn't like the looks of her incision. So I was instant messaging with Sly B, and here's what I was trying to say. I was trying to say that I was worried about the incision because I saw a couple of pussy-looking spots on the incision. And, you know, the point of this conversation was to see if Sly B thought I should call the vet and, you know, get her checked out. But turns out that pussy is a difficult word to spell, at least for me. So if any of you guys know how to spell that word so that I can avoid misspelling that word on my work computer to Slybee's work computer in the future, that would be great. Bye.
Hey!
All right, installment 2 of the Crazy Chick Survival Guide. This is not, again, not about actual true mental illness. Although that might be a factor, of course. But this is really about that drama-spawning crazy chick who should know better. And this here is advice from a guy who's hung up his I'm with crazy t-shirt. Now this rant advice column, this is not directed at any one particular person, friend or foe or ex. And of course, no, this is not about her. You might think it is, but you'd be wrong. Probably not about you either, but you know, you may have contributed something. All right, next dash. That guy, or that, you know, that bunch of individual guys, they wouldn't be hanging around in one group, but individual guys, they're all hanging around your crazy drama chick girlfriend. And being there for her, you know, when she's feeling all boo-hoo, ain't your friend. He's working hard in the lost cause to win her over, away from you. He doesn't know or can't accept that it's a lost cause for him, so to him, you're in his way. He wants to step in as your replacement. And she's leading him along, giving him something, you know, sexy pictures, the occasional toss, flirting, compliments, whatever it may be, to believe that he still has a shot. Chris Rock calls them the dick in the glass case. And who do you think she turns to when you guys have a disagreement? Who do you think she can count on for 100% biased, kiss-ass reinforcement that whatever her distorted, nutty side of the argument is 100% correct and that you're just the jerk? Don't think that guy is giving her measured, Solomon-like advice to help mend the situation. He won't stick up for you. He won't stick up for your side, no matter how right you might be. And whenever you are the one who's in the wrong, holy shit, he'll be all the fuck over it, inflating it like it's his life preserver in the mid-Atlantic. His words to her are all about getting you out of the picture. And just be warned, every crazy chick who's even slightly attractive has at least one, usually more, of these guys hanging around. The dicks could be married with 4 kids. They could be lifelong crushers from high school. They could be your friends or peers. Whatever. As long as they want her, the crazy chick will dangle whatever carrots it takes to keep them in her thrall. After all, these guys are living, limitless sources of compliments and validations for the fragile, voracious, crazy chick psyche. And their compliments do carry more weight than yours for the crazy chick because, you know, for you, they're obligatory. For you, no matter how honest or sincere it is, they're expected. And now, you know, she might even give one of these guys a lay or even some kind of gratification at some point. But, you know, I wouldn't get jealous about, well, if you get that you're gone if that's the case. But I still wouldn't worry about that because she probably won't. And she'll never, ever, ever, ever fully respect any of these guys because obviously they don't earn any respect. And they'll never be challenging enough for her to give them a real shot at boyfriend status. Challenging enough for her, I mean. Most of these losers will figure it out after a few months or years and settle for some other girl. But, you know, you can't count on them moving on. If you got these guys in your life, you know, creating complications for you and your crazy chick girlfriend. And you definitely can't expect these guys to ever be your friend. Most will still harbor that crush. Even if they move on, no matter what, you'll still always be the jerk. So, you know, even if they do wise up and vanish, your crazy chick will always find more loser guys to replace the ones that have gone astray. So there's your last bit of advice on that. Don't think just because, you know, the one that's hanging around now has found a girlfriend, found someone else to focus his attention on. Don't think that you're in the clear. She'll find someone new.
Hey!
-2. Jealousy is ugly. If a chick gets seriously, seriously bent at you for casually checking out some other woman in an image or in a movie or out in public, even though you have no intent to misbehave, or if she gets completely bent over non-inappropriate, safe, harmless, friendly flirting, then recognize there's a problem. File that as unacceptable behavior because it will not improve over time, especially not as her looks start to age and fertilize her crazy chick's hyper-insecure state. And you'll need to keep a close eye on your pet rabbit. If you're behaving badly, however, while in a stable relationship, then a sane chick is perfectly entitled to a little bit of jealousy. Let's make that clear. Anyway, watch also how your chick is handling other men's attentions. You know, everybody likes the flattery if someone else is crushing or flirting. I mean, don't you? Doesn't mean you run with it or anything, but just bear with me on this. You know, a sane chick, your sane girlfriend, is certainly allowed to enjoy that. But, you know, if your crazy chick is reveling so much in other men's attention that you're feeling jealous and insecure, then, yeah, you seriously need to consider getting out. And just play devil's advocate for a second. Maybe the problem is you. Still, if your girlfriend's behavior is causing you to feel jealous or insecure, if she's sane and you're sane, then you can talk it out. If neither one of you are, or if only one of you is, then it's just not going to work out.
Hey, hey!
SB says, 2, I'm super blind, so those would not do me a lick of good. Me, Jack Mangan, said a lot in this one. 1, all I felt was meh, I need this printed on a t-shirt. 2, http://www.dailymail.co.uk/health/article/... it's a link. Any thoughts, experiences pertaining to off-the-shelf reading glasses? 3. Turo, my secret Santa gift has arrived. Thanks so much, Seb. Another link. 4. Overreacting from Brad Sucks is a great tune. DJ Bunny says, you know something? My cat, who's sleeping on my lap, has more tension and thrills than this movie. DJ Bunny says, she's kind of freaking out. Retro says, has there been a work stoppage on the deadpan? Has the Skessis been negotiating to give Jack a higher share of the beatings? Ed from Texas says, oh good, now I won't think the calendar shift has some confirmation that the end of the world as we know it is nigh. Jack Mangan. Oh, this is a good story. Hold on. So we finally made it to the end. And then the rest of the endings of Return of the King, completing the saga just in time for The Hobbit. In the final scene of the final ending, when Sam returns home and greets his daughter, his wife Rosie comes out holding the younger child, to which my daughter says, wow, that one has Frodo's hair. Ellipsis. Makes you wonder his real reason for sailing off into the West. Ellipsis. Vanamont says, that's for DP's comment and not Ed's, ellipsis. Still a long way to retirement. Fingers crossed and not tempting fate and all that funk. Espy says, in all caps, I have a Gravatar! ! Just a Joe says, I'm seriously bummed by his passing. I've always really dug his stuff and over-idealized what the club scene must have been like when he burst upon it. A bit before my time. J.R. Murdoch says, at last, the tale from the Rancor's perspective. http://www.giantfreakingrobot.com/sci-fi/rancorstorytold.html. Used Hair says, not necessarily the Heinlein book. I've read enough of his later books and his later works and have grown weary of his style. The style. CJ says, I'll send you some of mine. I'm tired but kind of full of the happy today, smiley face. And the first of the week, Vanamon says, an extra week before dead air. Yeah!
Everyone, this is Chris from the Jesus Geeks, and you are listening to Jack Mangan's Deadpan.
Hey!
Short outro babble. Thank you for listening. The month has been crazy for me, as it has been for you as well. support for anyone out there who's going through some shit, as I know some in Deadpan Land have been. There have been some stresses around, but I hope that the rest of your December goes well. I will see you. We will talk again before December is done. I've had my own stuff on my mind and on my plate and keeping me busy, so I don't know that we'll have new Christmas content for our what will probably be our final year of Deadpan. I encourage you to check out Deadpan Easer and Santa Thing from years past. Don't know the episode numbers off the top of my head, but anyway, I encourage you to check them out, and we'll see. Maybe something will open up, and I will get around to the popping the kernel of the idea that I had. But remains to be seen. We'll see. Good night, Mush.
Welcome.
This one or this one. And now with a totally terrific town. The new Micro Machine Super City 2-Box playset. Closed, it's a mild matter 2-Box. Open, it's a Micro Machine USA. Cruiser, mini Micro Machine, vehicle plays a boat to the police station, the marina, the mini motorcycle repair shop, the gas station, the construction office, work, the wheel working drawbridge, highway, passenger landing, garage door, or take a Micro Machine flying machine in for a landing. Phew, this place has it all. The new Micro Machine Super City 2-Box playset from the room. The one and only outrageous original miniature. Remember, if it doesn't say Micro Machine, it's not the real thing.
Warriors. Begin.
Understand. I'm locked in here with you. seem to understand. You're locked in here with Yuri. You're locked in here with me! Seem to understand.